Good morning, good morning,
Love
good morning.
Hope Radio.
Good morning, welcome to the Facebook Bible study. We are in the book of Revelation, and today we're going to try to get through chapters 14, 15, 16, and perhaps 17. It's a lot to cover in 30 minutes, but if you've been doing your reading, it should be easy following along. Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, I'm going to try to do as little reading as possible. First three verses has to do with the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. With him is the 144,000. I'm going pretty quickly because we've already covered the definition and identification of them. You hear a voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, with great thundering and harps playing. And the Bible says in verse 3 that they begin to sing a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and before the elders, and that no man could learn the song but the 144,000, which were the redeemed of the earth. And we talked about that being a group that comes strictly and directly from the Jewish people, 12,000 from each tribe. Verse 4 talks about the fact that they are not defiled with a woman, that they are virgins. We want to look at this not so much as how we think of virginity, but more how we think about purity. They have been reserved. They are selected. They're special. They have not. They're not in guile. They're not in sin. Their names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are the redeemed among men and the first fruit unto God and unto the Lamb. The first fruit, which is always an indication of the Jewish people, being the people who were called the chosen of God. They are the first fruit, something that is also referred to by the Bible about Christ, that he is the first fruit of them redeemed through the resurrection. Verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, no falsehood, no lying, no cheating, no stealing, no manipulation. And they are without fault before the throne of God. So here they are, again, pure. They have confessed all their sins. They have they stand righteous before God. Verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Based upon this text and where we are, we're probably dealing with the last 3.5 years, the last times and a half a time, that last 42-week period of the prophecy of the 7 years. So the bodies of the two witnesses, of course, have been resurrected, and they'll begin to speak with loud voices, proclaiming the gospel. Verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made it heaven and earth and the sea and the foundations of the water. Verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, is falling that great city, because she has made the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Her fornication, of course, is a blasphemy. It is sin. It is attributing the things that are of God to the devil. It is calling the things that are from the devil the things of God. It is blasphemy. It is total disregard to the word of God and to the teachings that are found in that word. Verse 9. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, verse 10, and shall drink of the wine of the wrath, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the cup of his indignation. and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And here's a very interesting point that is not preached correctly. In a lot of our churches, we talk about hell and the destruction of the wicked, and they're always talking about there's a pit somewhere, there's a hidden destruction, there's a hidden place called hell. But hell is an event. It is a lake of fire. It is something that will burn. And the burning is in the presence of the Lamb and the angels and God, who all bear witness to the fact that those who are found unworthy because they have not kept the commandments of God and washed their robes and made them white in the Lamb's blood are now being destroyed with fire, which is a mixture in the cup of God's indignation. And then you think of indignation, you have to think of his, not just his wrath or his anger, but his complete resolve to destroy this thing called sin and those who have chosen to live in sin rather than fellowship and love with God. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever received the mark of his name. Wow. Torment, the smoke of the torment ascends up forever and ever. You can think of it just a black pillow of smoke. Here I live in California, so we've had a lot of fires. Just imagine a roaring fire with smoke just billowing forever and ever, day and night, no rest, because they decided to worship the beast in his image and receive the mark of the beast. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, and their work do follow them. This is a very interesting text as well. For years I've told people that in the various dispensations, and we really haven't covered this, but the very dispensations of the Word of God, there may have been transitional moments where those who have died and gone directly to heaven, those who are died and they await in the graves for the resurrection, and it's based upon when Christ was crucified and resurrected, and that shift, as it were. And so I don't want to really get deeply into it, but there is a group that goes directly to heaven, because when Christ returns, he comes with the angels and his saints, and there's also those who will be resurrected unto life, and those who are resurrected unto damnation. So we do have those who are sleeping in the graves waiting for judgment, and we do have those who have already ascended into heaven. And how to distinguish those two, the Bible is not clear, so rather than speculate, I'd rather say there are two different groups. Amen. But when you close your eyes in death, the next thing you will see is the judgment. So don't think of it as like a prolonged waiting period. For the Bible says the dead know nothing, so they haven't missed anything, whether they died 2,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. To them, it will be instantaneous. Amen. Verse 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. sickle is a instrument for harvest. It is the long pole with the metal tip. It looks like an upside down L, and that is called a sickle. And they use that to harvest wheat mostly, large growing grass grain type of crops. And the Bible refers to us as the wheat, and the wheat and the tare will grow together until harvest. So it's talking about the harvest time. Verse 15, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sitteth upon the cloud and saying, thrust in thy sickle. So this is a definite portrayal of the return of Christ to harvest those who have been faithful in the earth. And this angel is telling him to go ahead and harvest. So thrust in the sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Ripe means it's ready. It's fully matured. It's time for it to be taken, to be plucked, as it were. It has reached this level of maturity. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any sweeter. It's not going to get any more mature. And so when the Bible says that Christ is coming back for a perfected church, he's talking about coming back for the harvest of that which is ripe, which is ready. Verse 16, and he that sits on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Verse 17, another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Okay, so we already have the harvesting of that which is God. So Christ is harvest, the righteous. Now here we have a second harvest. So he takes a sharp sickle, and in verse 8, and the angel, and another angel came out of the altar, which had the power of fire, and cried unto aloud to him with the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So we have a second ripening. We have a first ripening for righteousness, and let's see what happens to this second ripening of a cluster of wine grapes. Verse 19. And Abel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the wine of the earth and cast it into a great winepress of the wrath of God. So it's clear that this harvesting is not the righteous, that it is the wicked. So there's a resurrection, there's a gathering together, there is a grouping. It's interesting that the righteous are not grouped together in clusters, because we have to have an individual relationship with God. But the wicked are clustered together. I just want to throw that out there. You go ahead and you examine that if you need to. Verse 20, and the winepress was throttled within the city. You have to think of a giant press. You have to think of something that is compressing, that is being cranked, and it's compressing. It's compressing in a giant city. And it says, instead of wine coming out, it says, blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridle. So it's coming up at a certain level. The bridle is the thing that's around the horse's head that lets you turn it to the left or to the right. So if you think about the height of a horse, we're talking about something that stands about 4.5 feet, close to 6 feet tall. And it did that by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So think of a giant river of blood that is about 5 to 6 feet deep coming out of the wine press. This is a lot of blood. I believe the average human body has about 8 liters of blood, so you can imagine the amount of people that are caught up in this pressing. That ends chapter 14, so let's go directly into chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God. So here we're going to have God's pouring of the seven last plagues onto the earth. Now, it's important for us to understand that the righteous have already been redeemed from the earth before the seven last plagues fall. Amen. So this is something that we won't have to endure, but the wicked will have to endure. Verse 2 of chapter 15. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten a victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So they're playing the harps, and they begin to sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Verse 5, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony of heaven was open. So after the seven last vials are taken from the temple is now open, so you can see directly not only into the holy place, but into the most holy place. The very seat of God is now revealed. So you have the altar of incense, the altar of showbread, the altar of the candlesticks, and past that you have the holy temple, most holy place where the veil was ripped, where the mercy seat or the Ark of the Covenant is, and the Shekinah glory is now shining forth through the temple, through the holy place, and spilling out upon all of those who are witnessing to this pouring out of song and worship of God. Verse 6, and the seventh angel came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with a golden girdle. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Verse 8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was fulfilled. And that takes us out of chapter 15. It's a very short chapter, but it's a setup chapter. It lets us know that we're progressing. So let's just flip directly into chapter 16. What you need to know about 15 is that what is in those vials is judgment. And to give to every man according to what his works shall be. Judgment is coming upon the earth, and it's not going to be people's court. God is standing in seriousness, in his full glory, in his full righteousness, in his full awesome power to deliver judgment upon the earth. And you notice that there is no reference to the four beasts or the 24 elders singing the praises of God, because judgment is so serious that heaven is silent. All right, let's move on. Revelation 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vial of the wrath unto the earth. And so here judgment is being delivered. And the first went out and poured out the vial unto the earth, and there fell a nonsense and grease of sores upon the men. So plagues are taking place, sores. For everybody hath the mark of the beast, and upon everybody that worshipped his image. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out the veil upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The third angel poured out his fowl upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became as blood. This is a different reference to the plagues of Egypt. There is no water to drink. Now, I want you to think about that. There is no more refreshing. The Holy Spirit has been withdrawn from the earth. There is no more refreshing. There is no more peace. There is no more reconciliation. There is no more calming down the multitude. They're being whipped into a frenzy because of these seven last plagues. Verse 5, and I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Here we have a water spirit. It's really not clear if it is a heavenly spirit or a demonic spirit confessing. But we do know in the Word it says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. So it could be either one. Verse 6. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. So the reward for shedding the blood, for killing, for causing harm to the saints of God and to the prophets of God is that they have to drink the wrath, the blood, the reward, the payment of that transgression. Whatsoever man soweth, they sowed in blood, they shall reap. So they will reap in the same blood that they sowed in. Amen. Verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. It's very you have to understand that we serve a righteous and just God. At the time of judgment, when the vials are poured out and the destruction of the wicked comes, everyone will know that God is justified, that he did everything he could do to redeem man from the earth. And so he is justified in now the destruction. And no one is questioning whether or not, you know, the books are open. They can see the course of everybody's life. They can see where you either decided to serve God or you decided to deny God. It's all clear. It's crystal clear. God is being completely transparent. The temple is open. You can see everything. It's going to be a heartbreaking day for God because he has to destroy his own children. Amen. Where were we? Verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Scorching, it's a burning of the skin, burning of the hair. Understand, the consumption of the wicked is not a slow process, it's not a quick process. If you ever gotten too close to the flame of a stove, and that sends the hair off the back of your hand or arm, you understand what's going on here. That scourging, that singeing of the hair, singeing of the skin, it's a gradual burning process. Verse 9, and men were scourged with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to him and his glory. They repented not. They still were blaspheming the name of God. They're unrepentant. even at this level, even the thief of the cross had the good sense to say to Jesus, remember me. They're not even willing to acknowledge God even at this point. Verse 10. Now the fifth angel poured out his vial unto the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was filled with darkness, and they gnashed their tongues for pain. Jesus said, in the last day there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine how much pain you're in to begin to bite yourself, to bite your own tongue deliberately, to try to ease your own suffering? Verse 11. And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. They're still not repented. Verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the king of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of Almighty God. And behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Here's a direct reference to the virgins, some foolish, some wise, who kept their lamps trimmed and burning. They were ready. They were dressed for the entrance of the bridegroom. We have to be ready and dressed. You know, people always want to, you know, when do I get ready? What sign will come? You got to be ready. You can't wait for an indication. Part of this study is so we don't give you false hope that you can wait till you see this. You have to be ready. Verse 16. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. Here is the completion of the judgment. He's judged the people, he's judged the earth, he's judged the water, now he's judged the air. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Believe me, this one is completely burnt, destroyed. Verse 18, and there was voices and thundering and lightning. It was a great earthquake, such as not seen since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Verse 19, and the great city was divided in three parts, and the city of nations fell, and the great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So it's a complete destruction of Babylon. Verse 20, and every island fell away, and every mountain was not found. Verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, which is about 50 pounds, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. All right, then we're going to stop here for today at Revelation 16, and the next recording will start at Revelation 17. Continue to do your reading and study. If you have any questions, put them down below. Until then, be blessed. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.